Hello and welcome to the Og Blog Podcast, your leading podcast for news about Peanuts books. Today we are talking with Sylvia Bernstein, who at the moment is going through something much like what I'm going through, in that she is near fire. We're recording this in Southern California. I'm calling from my home 10 miles from the Thomas Blaze that's going on currently. And she is very even nearer to a blaze in Bel Air. So if some of us are coughing or sound a little scratchy during this interview, we apologize, but the environment is making us do it. Okay, Sylvia, I'm talking to you about some interesting Peanuts books that came from the American Brotherhood for the Blind. Can you tell me a little bit about that organization?
Well, many years ago, when I wanted to do something, my children were quite young, and I felt like I wanted to do something worthwhile that I could do from home, I got interested in Braille transcription and found at that time that there was an organization that was called Twin Vision, where books were transcribed for children who were visually impaired with raised figures, and that's something that really, really appealed to me. And one of the books that we were contracted to work on was Charles Schulz's books and Peanuts. That was something that appealed to me tremendously, and I felt like I was doing something worthwhile while my children were quite young and I was still at home.
Okay, now, so we're talking the 1960s here.
Correct.
Now, the Twin Vision books, for those who haven't seen them, and most people haven't, will have a page of text matched with the same page in Braille.
Right.
And then you turn, and there's a page with a picture. Then you see the picture, just a page sliced out of an ordinary printed book, and then the same picture is there raised so that somebody could feel it with their fingers.
Right. The woman who first started this, her name was Jean Norris, and she realized, she heard from, I believe, a friend of hers who was very frustrated that she was not able to read children's books to her children. I don't recall whether the parent was the one who had a vision problem or the child. And this was something that appealed to Jean. She felt she could remedy the situation. And first she transcribed a page of Braille and she pasted it over. And then she realized that that wasn't going to work because it only allowed the person who was blind to see. So then she did it differently, and she did it with a page, as you had mentioned, that with one page of printed and the comparable page only that was transcribed into Braille. And when she first approached the publishers of the Peanuts books, they first said they couldn't help her, but she was really very persistent. And finally, they came through and donated thousands, over 6,000 books to her, which at that point I became involved because it was then sent out to a group of people. Whoever was interested in doing this type of work, she had volunteers and even got some prison inmates involved in this project, so that books could be given to who could then feel, I would put in quotes, normal. Braille transcription is really a very meticulous work. It's composed of six dots arranged in different formats so that the dots compose an entire alphabet. And it's named after Louis Braille, who was French, and because there is no W in the French language, there is no W in Braille transcription. Braille is not actually a language. It's a format that's used to take the English language and use it so that people who do not have vision now are able to read by putting their fingers. It's tactile, and you put your fingers across it. So numbers are transcribed into Braille. Everything can be. Documents, menus, and in the case of children, it was decided that to do pictures that were raised images that were the same as the printed page would be the best way for young children, and I would say older children as well, to read. But we were given assignments so that we could really transcribe into any language, even if we didn't speak the language, because it's just these six dots, and we would then be able to arrange it so that Braille can be done in every language.
Oh, that's great. Now, do you know how the raised images were made that they used?
with some kind of it, they're really plastic in the book. They're not paper. So it was done with some kind of a mold that was made in that image. Now, I'm assuming there was an artist that was able to draw that, and then they made these raised images, which were then molded in a very thin plastic, so that it was really comparable to the quality of a Braille page. When Braille is transcribed, it's transcribed onto like a cardstock quality. And so when it was done with the raised image, it was also, I would say, the same weight. And so the book really didn't have to take any more pages or more weight, because a Braille book, just by the nature of it, is larger. And it's the only way it can be done to accommodate all these dots. Although the language that's used to transcribe Braille it's almost like 190 English contractions. And so the person reading it also has to learn all the contractions as well. Otherwise, books would be enormous and very heavy, and that really didn't work for children's books at all. Once I learned the alphabet, I taught a group of people who all from my synagogue how to transcribe Braille, and we would get together, I don't remember how often, with the materials that we would need. You need the cardstock, you need a stylus, and you need, there's a form that you use where you punch these dots in exactly the same order. And we were given each, let's say, three pages, different pages, so that we would finish the book all at the same time, depending on how large the book was. Then we would give it back to Twin Vision, who they would then send these books and disseminate it to whomever it was that had asked for it. Now there are over 200,000 books from the Library of Congress that are Braille, and you can get them at any time. Twin Vision also has, and I don't know if it still has, it may be called something else now. It may be called the Action Fund for the Blind, and it's located right here in Southern California in Tarzana. And they would distribute the books. We would just turn the pages back in, someone else would bind them, and then send them out. So it could be done, I would say, en masse for a whole group, or it can be done if someone needed it, say, to prepare a document for a special course of study, or was preparing to get a PhD in something and wanted some kind of a text. It was done depending on what the request was. As I said, anything can be done in Braille.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's a great format. I've used to know an engineer who read a lot of his stuff in Braille, although sometimes I would actually record some material for him for audio.
Right, talking books is wonderful also.
Did you ever hear back in any way from the people who were getting these books to see how they liked them?
We were never in touch with them. All that we knew was that I know one particular person, a young blind woman who was blind from birth, who needed some Hebrew text because she was preparing when she was 13 to become a bat mitzvah. And her particular section of the Torah that she was reading from had not been transcribed. And she was a member of my synagogue, and I remember that this was a special request. Now, I think the entire Torah has been transcribed into Braille. And I know, because I attended the ceremony, there wasn't a dry eye in the whole house, because she was able to, in quotes, look out at the congregation while her hand was on the Braille transcription and chant this text. So it was making something available to someone where that ceremony would not have been able to take place without her having a Braille transcription.
Oh, that's great. Now, I have examples of most of the Twin Vision Peanuts books, but I can tell you that I got them largely because, as best as I can tell, blind libraries were decommissioning some of them after they had been in use of 40 years of wear. And I can tell you that these things definitely got a lot of wear. You can see that, you know, the books are somewhat falling apart, which is actually good because it means people spent a lot of time using them.
Right, right.
Now, as for Peanuts, just out of curiosity, what do you think of Peanuts?
Oh, Peanuts I enjoy very much, but I enjoy it even more so now since we went up to the museum in Santa Rosa, and I saw many of the very early comics that Charles Schulz had written, comparing them to later ones, and I realized that a lot of them had a very political bent to them. He would use nuanced, had nuanced comic strips. What he felt is he had had to be done in, what is it, either 4 or 6 pictures, and that was the whole message had to be conveyed. And he was able to get an awful lot into those few pictures, but many of them were really comments on the political situation at the time. So I found him to be a social commentator, a philosopher, certainly, and very political, and many people didn't even realize that it was done with humor. And love and understanding, and I was a great fan, very, very drawn into all the characters.
He was very good at, even when he had some message to say, he wasn't hitting you with a hammer, he was sliding right under your doorstep. Okay, I'm not a great interviewer. Is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't?
No, but the only thing is, if any of your listeners should be interested in becoming involved and doing Braille transcription, they certainly could get in touch with the Action Fund for the Blind in Tarzana and see if they have need for any volunteers, because this is an ongoing program. It's very meaningful work, I know that personally, and you asked about at the receiving end. I'm sure the people who received it found this very, not only very gratifying, but an attempt for them to lead normal lives in many ways and not feel at all that they had any kind of a handicap. They, particularly children, could do what other children, or at least have the same knowledge other children had by sharing comic books, and what better way than through humor.
Well, that's great. That's great. Okay, I think that's all we need to cover. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
All right, it was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for the opportunity.
And now, an addendum to that interview, which was recorded about 2 days ago. Well, first off, let me note that while the fires have been a problem for many in our community, both Sylvia and I are fine at this point, and hope to continue to be. But I realized that in our discussion, we didn't actually bring up what Peanuts books we were talking about. Obviously, we're the ones for the blind, but what the books that they were adapting were the Happiness is a Warm Puppy series. So I have titles like Happiness is a Warm Puppy, and Security is a Thumb in a Blanket, and Home is on Top of a Doghouse, and Love is Walking Hand in Hand, all in these Braille Twin Vision editions we were discussing. If you've seen me talk at BeagleFest or perhaps some other appearance, I may have brought along with me a copy of Security is a Thumb in a Blanket for people to look at and to feel for themselves. It's quite an experience. And these make a very good choice to adapt. It would have been very hard to adapt collections of the comic strip where the dialogue and the pictures are integrated. But the Happiness is a Warm Puppy books have naturally text on one side and pictures on the facing page. So the items are separate. They're not mixed in together. And it makes it easier to handle the text and the pictures separately. These aren't the only Braille books in my collection. I have a couple others. For example, I was just looking at a copy of a kid's book called Here's Snoopy in Braille. And this wasn't done by Twin Vision. This was done by some other group later on. And it's not as interesting. It doesn't have the raised pictures in it. It doesn't have pictures in it at all. It has the text in both standard written English and in Braille. It contains, instead of pictures, descriptions of what the pictures were. So the Braille reader can get information about what is being shown, but they don't get to feel the image itself. It makes the book certainly less interesting to the outside viewer. I would have to leave it to Braille readers to decide which is preferable, feeling one's way around a shape of an image or feeling a description of the image in Braille. There is at least one book in the Twin Vision series I don't have, and I know they did an edition of Christmas is Together Time, which I really hope to get because, well, I like getting Peanuts Christmas books, particularly. It may not be a Charlie Brown Christmas, but even anything a little Christmassy sort of leans into that part of the collection. But I also don't get too frantic about not having these books, because to a certain degree, I shouldn't be the one to have them. I sort of accept that at this point, they've mostly lived their useful lives. But if a book is still off in the hands somewhere where it's going to be read by someone who reads Braille, then more power to it. May the book be there. Eventually one may end up in my hands. That would be fine too. Anyway, that's it for this week's edition of the Og Blog Podcast. Until next time, may the Red Baron not darken your skies. May you be world famous in everything you do. And may all your griefs be good ones.